tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Welcome, everybody. Thank you for joining us for another AfterBuzz TV after show for Downton Abbey. This is the final season, and we have a lot to talk about. Yes, season six.
This is episode three. Airing in the UK.
My name is John Comerford. I'm joined in the studio by Tamara Berg.
Hi, everybody.
And the lovely Courtney Stewart.
Hello, hello.
We have lots to cover. Let's see. This week we had Isabel taking a bite out of Dr. Clarkson.
Yes.
We had Denka finding a skeleton in Spratt's potting shed. And we had Edith pulling an all-nighter. Where I want to start, though, is not the wedding. We'll get to that because we'll have a lot of fun. But I can't help but not talk about Tom coming back right away because I'm just, I know. I saw him, he did a little photo bomb and that one before we actually revealed him. And I was.
Oh, the one shot before.
The one shot just before, because he was just kind of there and then he wasn't. It's like, what? I caught him
happening?
And I go, what's he? And then, of course, we revealed that he's there and he's come back. And I got to say, I'm not one easily prone to cry or anything like that. It got me. I was getting teary eyed.
I know,
weren't
you
back.
So happy?
I was like, why is this working on me?
And the baby's hugged.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It got a little so like good. a little sentimental, but he pulled back just enough, and it really got me. But it was good to see him back. I was surprised at how much it affected
me. Well, and by the end of the episode, there was so much going on. I had forgotten that he was coming back because we knew that.
Yeah,
seeing things. Yeah. And one of our viewers, I think, was told us that he was coming back episode three. But I'd forgotten it by then, and right. I was just so happy with everything else. And then he's there, and I'm like, yeah.
Oh yeah, he pops in. And just the way he's talking about how he had to go all the way to Boston to learn that this Downton is my home and you're my family. It's like, okay, it worked.
It totally worked.
Did it work?
So early on in the episode, Mary talked about how she'd gotten a letter from him, and that he said, I woke up from this dream of spending time at Downton and my eyes were filled with tears. Yeah.
Who would have thunk it?
Yeah. Just because he heard pigeons cooing, which I thought was, No, but it was great to see him back. I'm so glad he's there. I can't wait to see what they're going to do with him.
Yes.
And, that's all that we got out of that, except for it was a great, because the wedding itself, which we'll talk about more in detail, it wasn't a huge thing or anything, but this is at the reception. But what a great thing to have happen there. And it really did take me. It was, I just was not expecting it. I feel like such a dupe because that's right.
Oh,
but
he's coming back.
Such misdirection. I just didn't see it coming.
And such divine pleasure on Mary's face when he pops in.
Yes. Agreed. Mm-hmm. There was one tiny little quarter of a second where I went, oh, way to steal Carson's thunder. He's toasting his bride, and John's like, da 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 da, I'm here.
And now it's all about Tom.
But I mean, it's from a cinematic standpoint, it was great.
Terrific.
So I let it go. There was one of our viewers, I think it was Elizabeth, who said, forget it. I am never watching Downton again when Tom left last
that's
series.
Right.
About it. Yeah.
She was like, nope, I'm out.
Well, maybe
so
she's back in.
Welcome
now.
Back.
Welcome back, because he never should have left in the first place.
Exactly. So. Exactly.
All right. So we'll talk more about him next week, of course, because we'll see what they're going to do with him.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to get to Edith, because finally Edith does something, which that was great to see, because they go, all right, now we go. Let's go. Let's send her. Exactly. Put Edith on a different trajectory, which was better. She's in London. She bumps into Bertie. A nice little meet cute there.
They,
give us a nice little expose. Oh, that's right. You were at Lord Cinderby's. You were cousin of Lord Hexham. Mm-hmm. All that was in there in that little meeting, which is great, because I needed it because I forgot all the connections.
Every once in a while, all these lean, pasty, blonde gentlemen look like all the same people.
Person
to me, honestly. Sorry. It's true.
Glad you said it. Yeah. I was thinking it, but
All right.
Happy to help.
So we had the nice meet cute there, you know, it was cute. I mean, it really was. You could see her kind of like, oh, yeah, you know,
let's
but
go,
it was nice.
Dream.
So, of course, then she gets there, and then it just, that, as fun and as cute as that was as frustrating and what a pain in the butt Skinner and the editor was. But it was great. She just finally, that's it. You're okay.
You know what?
You really
you're
feel
gone.
That way, you should leave.
Yeah.
I wanted her to even be more forceful, but it was, you know, that that's
it
more
was
in keeping.
Appropriate.
It was,
for,
and
yes,
it's more in keeping with her character and all that other stuff. But it was great because, and much to Audrey's delight, by the way,
yes.
Audrey, the secretary, she was very happy to see that guy.
Yes, I loved Audrey's dress.
Yes, and
she's
so cute.
And she's like cute hairdo. So
totally
what, John,
missed the dress.
Just,
I have no idea what it was.
Let it go. That's what I'm here for.
Great.
What was it?
It was
way,
pretty
was it?
Red with like red silk with like okay. a like a little lace thing on it. It was adorable.
Loved it.
Yeah. Don't worry.
I'm sure it was.
We'll
lovely.
Cover that part, John. You
yeah,
don't have to.
I appreciate you taking care of that because I don't have to. All right. So, and then they pull the all-nighter.
Well, no, but at the drinks, you know, we're going to meet
exactly,
for drinks.
Oh, exactly, sure.
So I thought it was just, you know, kind of adorable because it's still the same today. Oh, I assumed we were meeting for drinks because you had a dinner planned with someone else. No, I didn't have dinner planned with someone else. I was planning on asking you halfway through drinks.
Yeah.
Which is why you meet for coffee when
but
you
I
go
didn't
on
think, I didn't, but I didn't know. Ask. I didn't ask you for dinner first because I didn't think you said
so
yes.
You would say yes, yeah.
That's rather way honest.
Yes.
Fair enough.
But it was but adorable. Cute. I liked it. I thought mm-hmm. it was adorable. Mm-hmm.
So do we see them as an item? Do we like this meeting?
Well, I like
we
him because like he came to help her work.
Right, exactly.
I mean, he didn't have to offer. He could have been like,
he wasn't
okay, let's do it again later.
The other thing is he wasn't all, I know about writing.
Exactly.
He was like, I'll get sandwiches. I can make coffee.
Thank you.
Which was fabulous.
Loved it.
Not trying to make too much of himself, you
and
know.
And then he said she was an inspiration.
Yes.
And I felt so good for Edith. She never gets anything.
No. Yeah. Yeah.
And it was so great.
Okay. I don't know. We're going to have to stop calling her poor Edith, I
maybe,
think.
Maybe. So.
She's modern woman, Edith.
Yeah.
Did he at all remind you of Gregson? Just his demeanor.
Kind of don't remember Gregson very much.
Yeah.
Because he feels like he's been gone forever.
Yeah, he has.
Well, do you?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, I was like, okay, the same kind of...
same energy.
Yeah, and, you know, he also looked at her the same way in the sense that he thought Edith was much bigger deal than Edith did. So I think that's going to be good for her. I mean, that you know, ignites all that stuff again. So
we
that's really
that.
Good.
Absolutely. And at the end of it, she says, well, now I know I need a purpose.
Yeah. Yes. And she doesn't want to leave it.
Doesn't
live,
want to live
a purpose
life.
Yeah. Which is great. But I think the big questions there were also, are you a country girl or a townie? So,
yes.
Which is, this is, I love that because now she is really deciding, well, what am I?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm no longer just this person over here that has these things or that's the middle daughter and all that kind
or
of stuff.
Or the woman facing middle age or
exactly.
whatever it was that she put.
She's
she put
trying, hopefully, they're going to give her the trajectory of having to decide who she is and then go from there. So it'll be nice.
Oh, I got some gossip for later that's going to feed into this, but I can't tell you now.
The other thing that, in that scene when she's talking to Bertie about, you know, what are you going to do and all this, they were cursorily talking about, you know, the wedding and stuff. He had asked her, you know, has he been with you long? And oh, yes, he's been for 30 years. He's
right.
started as a footman. And, all that. And I loved the way that Bertie had said, oh, I love that.
Those stories.
I love those stories in there. And then he even, the next part of that, which was, well, are we likely to keep hearing them? And,
mm-hmm. Yes.
And that obviously was the clear theme throughout this bit
whole episode.
Oh, yeah,
sure.
It's great because there was all kinds of references to that. I just wanted to point that one out because that's where it was.
Right, because also it sort of shows some of his sentimentality and not as much of a, you know, high horse, Mary kind
of
guy.
He is
of
that world. I mean, face it, he is the cousin of Lord Hexham and he's about, could inherit, or well, I guess it, at some point will inherit a big old estate.
Something,
right? So one of the YouTube fans pointed out that he is to Lord Hexham, who Matthew is to Robert.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So I didn't know it was a direct.
Yeah. Right. So I've got it written down here. I'll
see
if I can credit whoever
it is.
But we know
that related in that in such a way that he is going to.
Yeah. So okay. So it was Sylvana Dill. Bertie's degree of relationship to Lord Hexham is exactly the same as Matthew's to Robert, and it would be interesting to have Edith become a countess exactly the same way Mary would have had Matthew not died.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think that's telling us a little something. Thank you for noting that on the YouTube comments.
But, and I also like the other thing Edith said, because he goes, what are you going to do now? And she says, well, she's not going to just step right into the role. I'm going to get a caretaker. So I go, that's smart, too.
Smart.
Because I thought, well, if they just throw her into this, it's too easy for her to just fail. And it also leaves the door open for somebody else. Because if we just started this birdie thing, is she going to get caught in a love triangle?
A love triangle with an editor
and, you know, who knows? Interesting, right?
Perhaps.
And let's say, who else just showed up?
Do you mean Tom?
Yeah, well, I'm not saying he would be a good editor because he doesn't know anything about that world.
Well,
and
we did get a little clip in the preview.
Yeah, I know. He said,
he
what am I going to do?
Else
but, you know, that would be
state.
It would be interesting, you know, story-wise. But I don't see him doing it only because obviously he started out on a farm or in some degrees in a farm. You know,
right.
When he grew up, and then he was the chauffeur, mechanic that kind of thing. And then he was still doing... the agent role or land and farm agricultural stuff with the Downton. So I don't really see him being in the world of a magazine editor.
Writing and doing layouts and things like that.
She may want him just because she trusts him, knows him.
And he's solid.
It wouldn't be a really smart move as an owner of a not to hire an editor, but I can see her wanting to do it just because she can trust him and that he may want to do it just to try. I mean, who knows? I don't think that's going to happen, but... I just like the idea that the door's open, somebody else is going to come in, and...
There are people who have said that it could be Tom. Anna, my buddy Anna on Twitter, has one of them who said Tom could be the next editor. Mm-hmm. I don't particularly see it for those reasons that you were saying.
I don't think
his background really warrants it. But if it's going in there to sort of being the manager and be the male dominant figurehead, maybe that. Yeah. But I don't think he really has the skills or the desire necessarily to be the editor.
Right. I agree with that. That's what. But I just like that the door is open. The other thing is that in the Tom sense, the Drew farm, the yew tree farm, just opened up.
Right.
So, you know, he clearly would know how to do that.
Right. But some people are saying, as you know, Daisy. Yeah.
Of course.
Are we going to talk about Daisy yet?
Yeah, we'll get to it. We can talk about it right now if you want, which is fine. But I just like that that's a possibility there, too.
Yeah.
Which is, well, come on. Clearly, they were setting up huge disappointment for Daisy.
Oh, my God. Could she be more eager?
Yeah, exactly.
She's setting herself up for the disappointment.
And I love that every time, since we're getting into it, every time, you know, Mosley's saying, well, you know, hang on.
Calm down.
Slow your roll, all that kind of stuff in Downton speak.
Yes.
And she's just, oh, yeah, sure, I'll tell him. And then even Cora's saying, wait a minute.
She can't get an entire sentence out.
No. And every time somebody was trying to tell her to stop, something else would happen.
Just so grateful. So excited. So happy. Can't wait. This is going to be super
over the moon.
Awesome.
And you're going, oh, my God, he's hitting this so hard. It's going to be horrible disappointment when it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Because nobody's managing her expectations.
No.
So.
Yeah. No.
Oh, well.
Yeah. So.
Pop that
Daisy's
balloon.
Been, yeah. All right, so I wanted to move off of that and go to Spratt and Danker because
this
was a lot of fun for me.
Okay,
Spratt was a philatelist. I had
right.
no idea.
Well, and for one little moment, she's leaning over him, looking at the things, and like there were all sorts of things that could happen.
Yeah,
there could
I know.
Be a breathing in the air. There
like,
could
what
be
are you gonna do?
There could be destroying of stamps. Yeah. There could be the nastiness that she throws at him. I mean, it was just.
I thought as soon as he went to open the door, I thought she's just going to take that special thing. I'm just going, geez, why is he leaving all that for her?
Yeah. Right, yeah. Right. Pour coffee on it.
Yeah,
there you go.
And I'm wondering, at some point, those stamps are going to come back. And
sure.
There's going to be things missing.
And then we're going to see that he has one of those ones that's got, that's American on
it.
But with the, you know,
upside down
airplane that's worth a bazillion dollars.
Exactly.
anyway.
Yeah. So the other thing is just, she's just so wants to, get him something on him. She just doesn't have enough to do.
No,
that
clearly
not enough to occupy her brain. In
that's
house.
Right.
She has got to find something.
And the ominous knock at the back door. Well, I guess it isn't ominous until after he opens it. But then it's like, uh-oh.
What was that?
And Spratt's got her ears up. I'm sorry, not Spratt. Danker's got her ears up. She smells the rat.
Yep.
Even when he's going out for a breath of air, clearly that looks like, okay, something else is up.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, Sergeant Willis shows up.
Yes.
And there really is something up.
Oh, something serious up.
Spratt, yeah, the nephew. So I know nothing of this. Does anybody have any skinny on this?
No.
No,
I don't.
Nothing. I haven't seen anything. He's harboring a fugitive. So
who knows? And of course, as soon as it's there, you know, I thought it was interesting that Danker's, you know, kind of, well, she plays it real close to the vest with the Will.
Yes.
Will.
Yeah.
Well, doesn't say anything.
She wants to keep her cards.
Yeah, because she wants the black one. So, but I'm going, you're also, but now
you're an accessory.
And I go, what the hell? You should
she
have,
doesn't care about that.
You should have avoided it. You know, said it in a different way.
You know, she's done all kind of stuff. She didn't care.
Yeah, she probably doesn't or thinks she's immune to it. Yeah. It doesn't, yeah, whatever.
She can talk her way out of anything.
Yeah. So she's going to blackmail him. She's going to blackmail him. I don't, you know, to what? Get more stamps, get more standing.
You know, like, right? I can keep a secret when I want.
You have to get up more often.
Yeah,
to
exactly.
Go help Violet.
But she said in the end, you know, I can keep a secret when I want
when
to,
I want
but
to,
do
yeah.
you want to? So I don't know. It almost, it seems less, you know, angry and intimidating than she has in the past. It seems more like she's playing with him.
Oh, yeah. She's just toying.
Yeah. She doesn't seem so malicious as she sort of has in the past. Like, they were more malicious over the broth than they were.
That's true.
You know, a good broth recipe is hard to come by.
So it's just going to get worse.
Yeah. He's going to have to give up his stamps.
It'll be fun to watch.
Yeah.
Because I love the two of them together and how they're both just jockeying for position like crazy.
Absolutely. Well, do you think the nephew's going to come back into things?
Oh, yeah. I think so. Yeah.
Mr. Wally Stern, he had a name. So
yeah, so
they are going to bring him back, right?
So yeah, he'll come back to some degree. Somehow it's going to weave back into the green storyline.
Oh, good Lord.
There you go.
Oh, good Lord.
All right, but it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. Okay. Now, talk about interesting. For me, one of the most interesting storylines was the Thomas storyline, for me. For many reasons.
Yes.
Yeah, Thomas Farrell. So the reason being is he's, you know, last week I was positing, why is he so after Andy? I was saying it's not about romance. I didn't think it was. And then, of course, he even confirms that. He goes, look, I just wanted him to be a friend, and you guys have turned them against me and all that kind of stuff. But there was, he's, and even Bates has that line where they're all sensing him isolating himself and trying to get out trying, because for the first two episodes he was trying to be part of it, make himself indispensable, all those kinds of things, and now he seems to just I just want to get out of here, and I just think it was in parallel to the idea that this way of life is ending as well, because he goes over to the prominent household of Sir Michael
for his interview.
Because, you know, he's reading it was sad. It was really sad.
Sad.
It was horribly sad. And that's, the whole thing was sad. Yeah. It was tragic in a sense. And I there are two things that I really enjoyed it as a viewer, not as a human seeing somebody
be
sad,
in pain,
but as a viewer, I was appreciating that the way they took the visuals. I mean, because here he goes to this once prominent household. Now, a couple episodes ago, we saw the auction.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
This is the auction plus a couple years.
Right.
This, a place in decay. I mean, just opening the front door, you could see there's a pot, an urn,
crumbling.
Or whatever that's crumbling. The site, you know. And then Sir Michael is opening his own door, which is unheard of, at the back entrance, I believe, because that's where Thomas probably went, if I'm not mistaken. But anyway, then we go inside, and it's empty. And the place is it hasn't been kept.
The thing that really got me was the laundry hanging over
the
fireplace, right? That was just like, how far do you have to fall to be doing your own laundry?
I'm
in that
Sir
time
Michael
with those
doing my
people.
Own laundry.
Yes,
yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And I also loved the whole sequence in the the entry hall, I guess, with the staircase, and he's talking about the women.
He looks at them up the stairs, and he
looking at it so
that,
romantically and nostalgically. But the their faces lit by the candlelight.
That was fantastic.
But seeing it all, it was just sad. And then when they're sitting in those leather chairs, and the leather is just
ripping,
cracked,
and disintegrating,
and it's so not Downton and what Thomas is used to. But it's also reflective of how he's feeling and stuff like this. So I just loved all this juxtaposition. We had the Edwardians, their own way of life coming to
right,
a close,
yes.
And obviously we've talked about how this is where Downton is headed. But then I was going, what is he doing with Thomas? How is it reflective of how Thomas is feeling and where Thomas is headed? And this is what got me thinking about this. And I just thought, okay.
What are they trying to foreshadow?
Yes.
Here?
What is he trying to foreshadow?
So I was, you know, when I was doing research for the news, I saw a video of Rob James Collier as Thomas in an interview, the actor in an interview with the guy who plays Andy.
Okay.
And they're just sort of chatting, and they're chatting about this, about their relationship, and that it's about a friendship and that kind of thing. And I'll tweet out the link in case any of you guys want to watch it. But what he said was that Thomas separates himself from the house. and which is what we're seeing him do. And he says, and it's quite tragic. And the thought I had, which is, as you all know, is a recurring thought for me, was he's going to kill himself.
You've had this recurring?
Well, you know, I always say so-and-so is going to die. not necessarily.
But that's what, when you saw this interview, that's where you
went? Yeah. And it was different seeing the actor speak the words that it was really quite tragic. Because, I mean, I think there's a certain amount of tragedy in all of these scenarios with the houses, closing up and that sort of thing. But this idea with him, you know, being so alienated and so separated from society, as well as from the people that he now works with, he can't even make a friend.
He has no friends, and he doesn't think he can make any friends because everybody's turned against him in some degree. And he has no family, and
he's trying desperately, like you say, to like raise his status in the house playing with Marigold and you know trying to do things. But so I'm sorry to say that
it's a terrible thing to say,
but I think that it could absolutely happen.
It'd be incredibly dramatic. It would be. You know, it's in keeping with some of the tragedies we've seen over the years on the show, but it would be really effective just in terms of story. Let's not talk about in reality. We're not talking reality.
No. And I don't want that to
happen. No, not at all. But it would be incredibly dramatic.
It would make perfect sense.
Because he's
putting up the walls.
Right. And that's the other thing that I...
And can't see that people are reaching out.
Actually reaching out and trying to pull
them in. Bates even has that line that it would be easier for you to... You to accept than us to believe.
Last week she said, "You won't let me in, you won't let me like you." Yeah. And the other reason why I went there was just coming at it from a story perspective and a writing perspective. You know, he's been the evil butler every single season. We've all hated him, and now we're watching him going through all of this pain, and we're starting to feel sympathy toward him. So. What more satisfying, dramatic way to end the story was for him to, you know, just again, just from a story standpoint.
Right. Well, that's interesting because you felt that way just off the interview.
Yeah.
And I was kind of feeling that way because we were doing it, especially when we saw this, and I'm going, and then he says that line, I can't see the future. And I'm going, the signs are like, I mean, and I'm going, am I wrong? Because that's what it's looking like to me.
He was incredibly committed to getting out of the army.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, he caused himself pain doing that, you know, by injuring his hand. And the other thing that I think is so interesting is I think because we do have these storylines that can be reflected in current modern times.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So here we are pretty much 100 years later, and there are still people going through all of this alienation and all of these identity issues. I think it would be a great opportunity, the way Anna's rape was, to kind of start a dialogue and be an opportunity for us to talk about how things have or haven't changed and what we could do to make a difference. Sorry to go off on this whole...
We don't even know this is where it's going.
I could be completely wrong,
but that was where I went.
It'll be interesting to see what our viewers have thought about it or have conjectured on their own or think that we're full of crap.
Feel free to think that.
I think of all of the crap we have been full of, that one is grounded in the most.
It was all because of the way they shot it.
Right.
Is that they started, it just started gelling. And then, of course, the few lines that we kept, because we didn't have very much in that story. It's just a few lines. And the fact that he can't see the future, because it's only the future. He always, if nothing else, he didn't have a place in the world, but he had a place at Downton.
Yes.
Right.
And now that's gone. And I'm just thinking, I don't have a place out there. He's not finding, there's no safe harbor, there's no refuge, there's nothing for me out there. At least that's what and he's not even accepting that whatever that the people at Downton are offering.
Yeah. Right.
Because they're not, he's taking things way beyond to the nth degree.
And he's so sure that he's going to get thrown out any second now. I mean, he's the one who said, you know, typical 30 years of service and one wrong move and you're out on your ear. Yeah.
She's going to get thrown out on her ear. What's
going to happen to me?
Exactly. Because
everyone hates me.
Yeah. All right.
I'm sorry.
In terms of story and structure and series, I think it's a worthy discussion. I think it's. Yeah. If I were fortunate enough to be writing, I'd write it. I would do it.
I think I'll be disappointed if it doesn't actually happen.
I think it would be incredibly dramatic. And yeah. I think it would be touching. I think
it would be heart-wrenching. Absolutely.
Because we can see him go deeper and deeper into his isolation, and people trying like crazy to help. Some people trying, some people not caring. Then realizing too late after the fact, like, oh my God, we didn't.
What could we have done?
How could we let this happen? I think it would be incredibly dramatic. So, all right.
Yeah.
Speaking about something that wasn't as dramatic, let's move on to something that the hospital.
Oh.
Because we had the further discussions about the hospital.
More hospital talk.
And, you know, I there wasn't really much here that was different again, but I will say that I did like the little tete-a-tete. Well, I should say when it started out with Violet coming to the house and she's waving her cane and on guarding and stuff, I'm going, anytime she does a stunt, that's great. I love it.
Oh, my God. When she did, yeah, it was like, if you guys watch the Evil Butler Part 2 video, she has a lightsaber.
Oh, does she?
Sorry to spoil it, but it kind of...
Well, it harkens back to that.
Yeah,
nice.
That's what it made me think of.
Nice.
There she
goes. All right. So I'll call back to that. That's cool. And then they had the sit down, you know, with everybody there. Digging their claim and...
Yeah, and really kind of...
Getting entrenched.
Yes, absolutely.
But Isabel going crazy about it. I mean, this is, you know, I've never seen her this pointed.
Up in arms about it.
Yeah, and going crazy on Dr. Clarkson.
Oh, calling out
Dr. Clarkson.
Yes. Clarkson,
because,
yeah.
She was harsh.
Was very, very bruising.
You just won't get to be king at the new place.
Yes, even
Seriously.
And, of course, everybody's, even Lord Burton, why don't we take
let's
this down?
Before
we
guys.
Say something we regret.
I'd like to think she already regrets what she said.
Exactly. I love that line.
Yeah. Were you drinking at lunch?
You know it. You were there.
Not the whole time. You could have taken a nip out of your purse at some point.
So all that stuff is all fun, but I'm going, there better be some payoff to this damn hospital because they just keep hitting the bell.
You're going to get your hospital.
Ringing that bell, you know what I mean?
But I thought the interesting thing about what that was that Clarkson at the end said, I'm not sure you were wrong.
Yeah,
he finally fessed up that, you know, he was giving it a second thought. And of course, Violet doesn't believe too much in second thoughts.
She's like, second thoughts are overrated.
But even the better line was that what appear in favor of reform is like a turkey in favor of Christmas. There you go. There you go.
Or I like when she told Lord Grantham to stop talking to Cora altogether, and he's like, that's my wife.
Yeah.
And she was like, so? I know lots of people that haven't talked for years, and they're perfectly happy.
And that works out just fine for them.
So,
serious about her position.
As much as I love all that, and I do all, I love all that dialogue, I just hope there's something with this hospital.
I'm sure there will be.
So, good. But
it won't be that exciting, though. No, but it'll just be a hospital.
It's hospital talk. Yeah. But at least he's having fun with the dialogue while he's doing
that's
it.
True.
Yeah. Yeah, right. That's good indeed.
Answer.
Oh, the one thing we didn't talk about with the Daisy storyline was the Mosley moment. He had a couple of moments.
Just
the first one, they're sitting down studying, and you know he's just there to, you know, he's just trying to help, right? And you know, and then as he's revealing the whole thing about the Mr. Drew's farm,
and that it's a tree farm.
Exactly, yew tree farm. I'm going, don't say that
don't
to her.
Don't tell her anything.
No. Anyway, because he's just trying to be nice, and he's trying to be liked, and all this other stuff. I'm going, oh, just shut your mouth, you know. But again, I love that he just, well, let's just go to the scene when he's talking to the prof or the teacher or whatever he is, the headmaster at the end, I can't remember his name, Mr. Goods or whatever his name was, at the reception.
Yeah.
And he's talking, mostly talking about how Daisy will make him proud.
Yes.
And it's just turned around and says, like, I think he'll make you proud. She'll make you proud. And then it just was crushing. He goes, do you feel like you've missed out on your vacation? Just crushing for him to hear him say, I think I missed out on everything.
I missed everything, sir. That has to be the most dismal way to look at your own life ever.
Oh, my God.
Like, what?
I mean, everything. Here's what I was thinking. In some weird way, I was connecting these two. Okay, so when we saw Sir Michael.
Yes.
In the prominent house. The way he was walking across the great room, I mean, his knees were buckled under the weight of history or... his shoulders hunched with the burden of tradition, that kind of thing. I was thinking of Mosley. I'm going, the regret and what's gone, what might have been. I was just going, oh my God. It was just, I felt the weight of all of that going, ugh. That's terrible.
It is.
That's you terrible. Were very sentimental.
I
this
was.
Episode.
But then have him poor say, John. But Daisy doesn't have to go.
Daisy so no, it's right. All, there's there's the, hope.
We're different from Thomas, who doesn't seem to have any history. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, sorry, doesn't have any future, or right. can't see a future. He at least can see a future for somebody else, even though I didn't have it. Somebody else can. Yeah. So there's hope there.
If she could
which
relax,
Thomas doesn't have.
She might see it too.
Yeah,
she
exactly.
Calm down.
She can relax. She might exactly. Just calm down, Daisy.
Calm down,
Daisy. Yeah, so. Stinking lax.
So, but that was just brutal for me. It's like, oh, yeah. I almost had to stop watching it just because I can't.
I watched it. How are these people not killing all of themselves? Like, yeah. They should all yeah, kill exactly. themselves because this is terrible.
No. Right. It is so terrible.
Why haven't you
been
given up?
All right, so enough sad talk or depressing talk. Let's get to the wedding.
Yes, let's.
I love the way it started out. You got, by the way, great shots in this. We have the yeah. nice, you know.
Oh, yeah, different ones.
Remember Steadicam shot right, running through there. It's yeah, like, nice. Yeah. And we had great tracking shots. And even the shots, they still impress me with how they keep finding different ways to shoot Downton, yeah. ways I haven't seen. We had a wonderful one coming off a slider out of a tree, and it reveals.
Beautiful.
And then we have the three arch, wonderfully composed one, very symmetrical.
So, I mean, I'm sure they don't use a lot of them because they're so distinctive. They're only going to be able to do that one.
Yeah,
that
they
once.
Can only do that one. Yeah.
But
it was
boy,
great.
It was beautiful.
Wonderfully, and, that,
and
both
framing,
guys coming out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Framing like, the conversations.
I
beautiful.
Like, I was
it was
just
perfection.
Going, yeah, it was terrific. It was wonderful. And then the whole thing, the whole way it was. Production design and the way it was shot at the, I don't remember the
cast, reception.
Sir Michael's reception. Place.
Oh, yes. Oh,
just
goodness.
All of that was just incredibly well done. Okay.
You
so
could
now,
smell that place, yes, just by yes. the way. It smelled moldy at my house when I was watching yeah. it.
All right, so but I liked the way it started because we have Mrs. Patmore, and Mrs. Hughes talking about, you know, excited. I've never been on the brink of anything except maybe the grave. And then, you know, they're talking, she's not too happy about everything, so we get all that. But then we reveal the what was it, the day dress? What's it called? The dress that she was
kind of
a day dress?
Yeah.
Again, thank you for helping
awful.
With the
oh, you betcha.
The fashion. And I was going, well,
but at least I'll be tidy. Yeah. To which yeah. Mrs. Patmore says, well, you're not wasting money, that's for sure. Loved it.
Yeah.
Keep
that
it clean.
Terrific.
That's
but
all
then
that
the frock plays a huge role in the whole show because yeah.
that Mrs. Patmore orders.
Mrs. Patmore orders mm-hmm. from a catalog.
Exciting.
Explain, mm-hmm. Yeah, the frock, and even that turns out to be too
ugly.
Humdrum and ugly.
Yeah.
Well, it was an improvement.
Yeah. But what Daisy says on what?
On
what
the last?
Yeah. How bad was the one before?
It was pretty bad.
Yeah.
The apron dress or something.
Yeah.
So, but a brooch will fix everything.
For sure. Doesn't it? Always.
Yeah, that I was just thinking right there. I was like, really? That's the best
that's
you could
best
offer
you
is
could
a brooch?
Think of a brooch? Like,
you know,
you
have a
or?
Slew of clothes, but they finally get to it, of course.
Yes.
And,
yes.
You know. But I like that, you know, you couldn't, she couldn't wear anything of Mary's, and, you know, and Cora's is too tall. So,
too tall.
You know, what are we going to do? All that kind of stuff. So, and then, you know, Mary, of course, she finally comes to it, like, much like the other day where it's like, this doesn't have anything to do with me, I don't care.
Exactly.
Finally, she gets to, hey, maybe, yeah. You
could do a coat.
You can't alter one of my things, but let's alter one of my mom's.
Yes.
I'll offer my mother's closet.
Sure.
In an embroidered evening dress.
Sure.
So, and then, of course, because of what Cora's been through, she catches them.
That was
a tough scene, wasn't it?
That was
nasty.
Thank you.
Like, I expected her to be upset as soon as Mary was like, yeah. Mom, oh, I forgot, by the way.
Right.
Oh, and she slams the door. And
right.
I love that Mary just didn't even bother to, like, get
didn't
up.
Didn't even bother.
And say, wait a second, there's some people in your room.
Anyway.
And you're
to run after her and go,
like,
hold on, I don't want you to go in. It's like, no.
She's just like, oh, whatever, it's fine.
And then chides her mother later for running off in a huff. It's like,
exactly.
Get off your butt.
Get up. Stand up.
Yeah.
Like, you're gonna
it's your fault I couldn't tell you.
Exactly. Yeah. But Cora was nasty.
Was
like,
very
I expected
nasty.
Her to be, like, upset or whatever. I didn't know it was going to be that
I think we've rarely seen that side of Cora.
Yes.
We've seen it maybe once or twice. I think she did it with, if I remember, Mrs. O'Brien once on
right.
something.
Right,
yeah. I can't remember what it
was. But Mrs. O'Brien was so evil.
Exactly.
It wasn't
yeah.
the same sting.
No, it wasn't.
Mrs. You're right.
Hughes
but yeah,
never
but that's
done
the thing.
Anything.
With Mrs. Hughes, first of all, was the three of them. It was Patmore, Anna, and
Mrs.
Hughes.
Mrs. Hughes.
And those three being in the same room, being
exactly.
chided and demoralized.
Pretty much beyond reproach,
yeah,
all three
exactly.
of them, all the time.
I was just, ouch. I mean, if it would have been Hughes alone, but they all kind of were there together, so they all experienced it because it's worse if somebody else is there with you because, you know, they saw you getting, this is terrible.
It was awful.
Absolutely.
Very effective scene. But
I felt like a naughty child who needed a smack.
Yeah, yeah. And to have it and the day before your wedding, was just...
And I didn't know how they were going to come back from that for the wedding with Cora. I was like, I would be, she was disgusting. Like, it was just... Like, these are your slaves, and you're like, these women obviously would not just be in your room doing anything for no reason. And I get, like, she was emotional about the hospital.
She had a headache.
She had a headache and whatever. But it was really...
But here's the thing. This is why... It was slime. But I'm going, look, you were at whatever hospital it is or how far away it is from
downtown.
So you have all that time to
cool down and relax.
Exactly. But I guess... And it was just weird that she just immediately went rustling through her things and everything.
When she was the one that set up in the beginning of the episode, even though that was still like really bold when she had Miss Hughes come in and was like, okay, what's going on? You don't want your wedding here? Great.
Yes, exactly.
I was like, put her on the spot, really uncomfortable, but at least you were her advocate.
Yes.
How do you switch it up that fast and
so
that harshly?
I guess we're to infer that hospital business was just so... What was the word she said? Ghastly is the word she said. She couldn't, let it go. But she didn't. So, but she now. Do you think the apology saved it? Did it work? Did it work for you?
It did not work for me. I mean, for me, because it's weird because we've already heard Mrs. Hughes saying like, I don't want to be a servant on my wedding day.
Right.
And I just feel like that kind of energy just. Cora just marred the whole situation. And
so
I feel like Mrs. Hughes would obviously have to accept her apology and she's given her this coat. Like, but like you said, she drove home for like an hour. She did not have to come for them like that. It was just, it was too much. The apology I get, I'm glad she did it. And she gave her the coat and didn't just let her borrow it. Thank you. But if I were Mrs. Hughes, I would never, like that would never leave my brain.
But I hear what you're saying. And it might be because I know all of the background of it, that Mary tried, that there was workings that Mrs. Hughes doesn't know about that makes me make it okay that Cora felt badly about it.
Yeah.
But if all I know is that moment when we had the apology, maybe I wouldn't forgive her. But
so it did work for you. Then.
It did. It did.
I'm stuck in the middle because I'm so glad they had the scene because I thought the prior scene was just horrendous.
Yes.
When she was talking
painful.
To them.
It was really
just
painful. Terrible.
But and she's saying all the right things, but I was just like, I needed more of a Japanese apology. I wanted the real big, it was deplorable. It was the whole thing. And she said the right things. I just needed a little bit more to make that really work for me because it's like, that was horrible.
It was horrible.
All, how could you assume that right away, the three of them in there, the three of them who, of all of your servants, should have the benefit of the doubt. And, I get that she was mad about somebody else. And,
all
do that. And it does happen. But, it was just,
you expected her to be mad. She's not nasty.
Well, and a couple of things about Mrs. Hughes. She says when we were talking about the where is the reception going to be,
right?
She was saying, I wanted a big breakfast with it was like creaking tables or something like
tables. Which wasn't it? Groaning tables.
And everyone having a jolly time. And there might even be music.
She was going to have some music.
Which is not appropriate for the Great Hall.
No.
And she said, it's about Charles Carson and Elise Hughes, not about this grand house and the great people it has served.
I love that she used their names and stuff and made it really personal.
Yeah, I thought that was sweet. And can we go on to the wedding and the reception?
Before we go on to the wedding, just to... Because just prior to the wedding, when Carson and Mrs. Hughes had a check-in before the day.
Thank you,
Yeah, and it was just adorable.
So precious.
Yeah. And she says, but I'm sad about my dress. Yes. I wish I had made more of an effort.
Yes. But what did she say after that? Was that what she said, at least to be tidy? No, she said that earlier.
She said that earlier.
Yeah.
So.
But and he said, you'll be beautiful no matter what. So
yeah.
He
something the right ridiculous. Line to say. Whatever.
No, and then no. I like that they're like, don't want to see each other. Yeah. Even they're like 75. Yeah. You know.
They figure out their plan for
I'll
how they're going to avoid seeing
each other. You're not going to see me. That's so cute.
Yeah, it was great. I just loved that little check-in.
The other moments I loved was when they were both separate and he's practicing his vows and she's sitting in bed.
The montage of
the
morning
where she
of,
was sitting in bed the morning of with her hair sitting aside. And you can see she's just musing. And like a tiny little bit of a grin on her face. Yeah. Knock, knock, knock. We've come to dress the bride.
And something I never thought I would hear.
I just thought that was so stinking cute.
It was adorable. Cute. And it was adorable. Like Carson's all nervous when they're bringing him the flowers and the boot.
And he doesn't even does it. What are these?
What, he's the, like, what is this? You have ushers. He's like, I don't
for
know.
For buttonhole. Yeah. Get rid of the fern.
But then Tom, at least Barrow got a fern.
Yeah,
oh,
but
right,
even
right,
that
the
was
PS,
weird.
Right? That's what I wanted to say.
Yeah, it's like get one. This so-and-so. What about me? It's like even Take that one. He's not a part of. He's an afterthought, and you know, it's like.
But he wants to be so bad because he took it even as the afterthought.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. But I love that little montage. I thought that was wonderful. Yeah. Stuff like that, and then so what did we think of the wedding? What did you think?
You know, I loved that, honestly, I love that they didn't spend a whole bunch of time on the actual wedding, because we've seen weddings.
And here's the other thing, we've seen Downton weddings, and you can't really match
they
that splendor.
That.
Right, but like the looking at the audience's faces, Mrs. Patmore.
Right. Oh, her little side.
It was great.
I thought it was very appropriate for the characters.
For sure.
I thought it was exactly what you would expect. I thought they didn't overplay it, they didn't underplay it. This is what I would expect.
Very well done.
I think you made the comment to me about how interesting that their wedding clothes are not as fancy as
their work clothes, right?
Yeah.
Like everybody goes to tuxedos, you know, in weddings these days, and their tweeds are, you know, that's their wedding clothes.
Yeah. I was a little sad by some of the color. It's very gray.
It was muted. It was
beige.
Yeah.
Very,
but that's what.
But
those,
I mean,
those
I get
colors.
It. But I was just like, oh. Okay, back to Rose wedding.
But, oh my God, the reception. Because can I tell you, I'm in the process of planning a wedding for a friend. And when they did like the shot of
Crane
it with the pennant flags, the white pennant flags and the little puddings and the and
all
everything. I just looked at that and went, oh my God, this bride would love that reception. Like if I could recreate that, I would. But it was it's so much what sort of the rustic romance of weddings are today that people want. It was so gorgeous.
And tables were
groaning tables full of beautiful breakfast food, my favorite meal.
Instead of the niddly bits that could
niddly bits that they'd have to stand around.
Yeah.
Carson's
Toast.
I'm the happiest and luckiest of men.
And
or whatever crap that was.
Yeah, and what you said about her. I didn't write down I didn't write it verbatim, but how that
she would pick me put me in charge
of her happiness and all this other stuff. It was wonderful, so good. So, and then the reception line, everybody walking in, that was all fun. But it was great. It was a really good, a very appropriate not Downton wedding
wedding
on Downton Abbey.
Yes.
So that was terrific.
I loved it.
Yeah. All right. So there are two things that we want to finish up with before we get into news and gossip. So the two little nuggets that they gave us.
Oh, right. Thank you. I completely forgot about that. It's written. Yes.
Is in that way.
In the family way. As they don't say on Downton. Apparently they just fling around the word pregnant all over the place.
Clearly the problem isn't Bates.
Gross.
Yes.
I love that. Anna checked her on that. The things that come out of your mouth.
Exactly. And her look is like, oh my God.
Good gracious. That was a great look, too. Oh, it was a great look.
So obviously that's going to play out. We'll see how. And in the third month, or what is it?
In the third month, we're going to make a secret trip.
I'll make an appointment. I'll figure out a reason or whatever it is.
Yep.
Justification for going to London.
Sure.
Okay. So now, the other thing. Was in that wonderful shot with the three arches, that very symmetrical, and we had Carson and Lord Grantham coming out and talking to each other. Little indigestion.
Oh, thank you. Yes,
I don't think that's a little indigestion.
That is not.
Might be some congestion, heart failure.
Yeah, that's
because
he's had heart problems.
Yeah,
before.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, do you think are we foreshadowing that this is part of this?
Something
that, because the next wasn't the next shot with him in the bed because Cora was getting up really early to go somewhere and I was like, he's not dead already. Like that's not going to happen before the wedding and ruin that for Miss Hughes. So I'm like,
okay, now
scared.
Two things. I think that's setting up. That's the whole that's going to work into the whole hospital storyline because he's going to be sick, and that's why this hospital, they're going to need the hospital or whatever. Yeah. And that's what's going to flip Violet because she's going to realize, oh my God.
We need the support of a larger hospital.
Something like that. I think that's what's
going to. Not just the country doctor.
Yeah, I think that's that. Yeah.
Sybil wouldn't have died. Let me take it back because the prestigious doctor.
Clarkson, right?
Exactly. The prestigious doctor was the one.
But so I think that's how that's going to figure into this. And that's
you're
why.
Good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the other thing that. I don't wish him dead. Like Tamara.
I know, right? I know it's hard to say these things.
Not wishing him dead.
But I'm not.
I'm just wondering. Is you know, because I would have thought, and you would have hoped that Sybil's death would have helped bring the sisters together.
Yes, yes. We talked about it then, and it didn't.
And I'm
happen
just
yet.
Wondering if that will be the thing that might
bring Mary and Edith together. The death of their father,
or the fact that he might die. Will that be enough? Because I'm pretty sure it's going to be the thing that makes the hospital make sense. But will we also be able to use that to help bring these sisters?
Do you think that's irreparable? She was still looking real salty when Edith came in with the magazine.
She's like, whatever. Isn't this great? She goes. She didn't even say anything. She's like, whatever. Yeah,
Curled her lip as she does. Mm.
So do you think any possibility there?
Well, I mean, they both have. Great affection for their father. Yep. He's their hero, as you know, one kind of hopes dads would be to their daughters.
Many of occasions.
Yeah.
Which he should do.
I think that's a great possibility. I do. I think it's a great possibility. But, you know, really all it comes down to is Mary not being quite the jackass that she is.
Yeah.
Jack wagon.
And will that ever stop? Maybe that'll stop when she finds out Marigold is actually Edith's.
Oh, you don't think she
was so long suffering with this child.
I think before that's ever really going to happen, Mary's got to get jolted. She's got to get knocked down a couple pegs, or something has to jolt her to the core, which is something like her father actually dying.
I agree.
That's going to cause her to realize, oh my God, my mom's going to, everybody's going to be, and I'm really going
to
be left with just
her foundation shaken.
Because I don't have the other sister. My mom and dad are going to die. Violet's going to, that's it.
Carson too.
Yeah. Because he's going to have his own wife. So,
and
anyway,
she doesn't have a man. You know
that's what I mean.
Know.
That's it. I've got her.
Right.
She's got
so I think at some point.
And her kids.
Yeah. Well, even that, the kids will go away.
So. Especially in this whole new world where everybody's moving to town.
So, okay. So those are the two things that I wanted to point out. Okay.
Good gracious.
Anything else we want to wrap up before we get to news and gossip?
I have so much news and gossip. Can
we all
right,
let's get to news and gossip. We'll just get in there.
Okay. So there's a lot.
Okay.
There has been talk of a Downton movie, as we've said, and if Jim Carter, who plays Carson, gets his way, it will be a very fun reboot. The 67-year-old star revealed that if it were up to him, he'd do away with the polite portrayal of the upstairs-downstairs running of the Crawley pile in favor of something more risque. He thinks that Downton should fast forward to the 1960s.
Okay.
He says, sure, for the film, this is a quote, for the film, I think Mr. Carson would invent pole dancing, really. He added, I think that the public are ready for that. We would have Mrs. Hughes and Mrs. Patmore, of course, and Lady Cora would shake a leg. I think it would be very popular.
Wow.
Of course, he's joking. But Julian Fellowes once again suggested that there would be a movie made from the show, and he also seemed to think that a change of direction would be a good idea. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine him going into the 60s. But anyway, it's a funny story. Yeah.
But I think the dancing would be part of it, no matter what.
Yeah, and Carson creating that pole.
Yeah,
you know,
fascinating
stripper pole. There
then
was
they'd
actually
have a footman shining
the pole, and
right.
Doing
one of our
marriage.
Fans on the YouTube channel said something to that effect about the butler has so much pent up desire. This is from Downstairs Abbey. Thank you. Uh-huh. The butler has so much pent up desire for the housekeeper, 20 years worth, that once he gets a taste of married life, he will decide to liberate himself from his livery. This proper and stern Englishman will transform into a romantic soul who will rediscover his theatrical side. He'll open up a stage act in the village, and of course, his practical wife will run the business.
That's
awesome. That is fantastic.
Nicely done.
I'm telling you, you've got to read
nicely
the comments.
Wait, who's that? That's
so
Downstairs Abbey?
Downstairs Abbey, yeah.
Nicely
Abbey,
done.
Thank
so
you
far,
very
sure.
much.
That is great. I would love to see it, too, by the way. I think that would be hysterical.
I'd watch.
It's the precursor to Fawlty Towers.
Yes, there you go. There you go.
I'll watch it.
So, the Earl and Countess of Carnarvon, who live at Highclere Castle, which stands in for Downton Abbey, say that being a part of Downton has changed our lives. We really have become one of the most famous houses in the world.
This thing plays in over 140 countries.
I know, me too. They welcome some 1,500 visitors every single day, and they hope that it will continue for 5, 10, or even 20 years.
Wow.
Lady Carnarvon said, "I love the show, but watching it can be a bit strange sometimes to see your home on television." Mm-hmm. When Michelle Dockery was standing outside the house, it was vaguely surreal. Mm-hmm. And she said, "But my husband and I feel very lucky to be a part of it." Yes. Okay, so this bit may be complete hogwash. All right, I'm just going to say it.
I have not vetted this little bit of information.
So, the order of service for a wedding, known in the United States as a wedding program, of one of Downton's most beloved characters was found in an Oxfordshire church after filming took place there. Found by a member of the public in the Cotswold village of Brampton, the pamphlet revealed the blushing bride was Lady Edith Crawley marrying a man who was named Herbert.
Birdie!
Right?
It's going to happen for her.
So we haven't vetted this.
So
but this is
Herbert
the...
could refer to Bertie Pelham, the agent of Brancaster Castle, third cousin of Lord Hexham, et cetera.
Edith getting her happily ever after.
So there, how about that? Like I said, it may be complete, total gossip, but...
That's good gossip.
But it's good gossip.
We just know that there was a wedding supposed to happen. We don't know if that actually did happen.
Now that one, they'll pull out all the
stops. Before.
Exactly, where he stopped it.
Oh, for God's sake, yes. Okay, let's see. Oh, we need to talk about Gwen.
Oh, right, yes. Gwen.
Okay, so in the coming ups, Gwen is coming back next episode. Right. If anybody doesn't remember, she was in series one. She was the She was the maid who was Anna's roommate who got a typewriter. Sybil helped her get a typewriter and get a job. Okay, so this is from Eric Tull, who's one of our longtime commenters, who I love reading his information. So here it is. In, I think it was series two. Two or three? Don't quote me on that.
Season two of Intermarriage.
Her Gwen's name comes up.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
As someone who has been, we got a letter from her. She's been married.
Right.
Okay. So he says, Eric Tull says, since we don't hear about people in that way, there must be something going on. So Gwen, we heard about her in the episode before the rape episode in series four, okay? We haven't heard her mentioned for the whole of series two, and yet her name comes up in series three out of the blue that she was married. We haven't had that with other characters who has left. So, he says, what if she was married to Green and she pushed him?
Oh.
I still think that the moment with Green in the London scene, anyway, so that's his speculation, is that Gwen is coming back because she's actually the one who killed Green.
Oh,
so
interesting.
The thing is
there's
that...
There's a wrinkle.
I don't care. Make it better?
So let me ask you this. Let's say, the whole... Julian has come up with this whole wonderful thing about the resolution to the Green. Which isn't revealed yet. Do you even care at this point? What if it's an amazing job of...
We're so far from the emotional moment of her being wronged. Yeah. Not just wronged, but being a terrible victim.
Right. Yeah.
I'm so done with it. Mm-hmm. He's going to have to do an awful lot in the next four episodes for me to care anymore.
I can't even imagine what it would be that would be so amazing that it would make me forget all of last series.
Thank you.
Because if it had happened like halfway through last series, then I might be like, oh, Gwen, great.
I mean, we were all so frothed up over it. And now it's like he's given us so many red herrings and so many false endings that were incredibly unsatisfying. I think the most satisfying thing out of this is Anna having a baby.
Okay.
You know, I mean, that's the most. That's what I think. Yeah. Let's see.
But is everybody really going to get that happy ending? Edith's going to get married. No. Anna's going to have her baby. No, it can't happen.
No, because
it'll
Thomas
be mixed.
Is
we'll have
die.
Some great.
Going to die.
Gemma Thomas says that the biggest historical inaccuracy is Carson and Mrs. Hughes getting married. But she says it's sweet though, and I think that one can be overlooked because it's so sweet. Wait, because butlers and housekeepers didn't marry at all anyway, and certainly not
didn't
to
marry
each other.
At all? Oh wow, single. Really?
Yeah.
But don't you think at this point, because we're seeing
we're transitioning out of the period, that's like maybe that's why.
That's the other reason we can forgive it.
I didn't know that that was a thing. I didn't know that they wouldn't marry at all, or certainly not to each other. I can understand why and everything, but at this point, the reason why I buy it regardless is that you see the transition happen. You see all kinds of things. Even in this episode, Edith says to Violet, look, I forgot who it is, but so-and-so flew over the Andes by herself.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, please, things are changing.
Yeah.
So is that why? Anyway.
Yeah.
That's why I accept it, and it's really cute.
Yeah.
It is adorable regardless. So I agree with Gemma for that.
Yeah. My buddy Anna says that, says that Anna having a baby is going to be the Christmas episode.
Okay.
Finale. Marigold's identity is going to get slipped.
Oh, right. I see. Okay. Somebody
you know, it's
going to,
like
that she's
come to Edith's auntie,
baby.
Come to mommy,
Edith's
come
son,
to grandpa, yeah. You know, whatever. Right.
Speaking of which, when they brought her up in this episode and Edith had to call her ward.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Awful.
Yeah.
Can't she be her adopted child or something?
No.
Why is
no,
it
because
be a ward?
He didn't know. Because that's what they did. They had
that's
wards.
That's a terrible word.
Oh, by the way, somebody was concerned, was upset with us that we made fun of Marigold's name or that or Heather's name or whatever.
Because her sister's name was Heather.
We were making fun of the name.
You're the name.
We were making fun of Julian Fellowes' propensity to name people.
Yes.
So it has nothing to do with the actual name.
We
so
love the name,
yes,
Heather.
Heather's fine. So please know that we weren't making fun of that. We're making
or
fun
your
of
sister.
Either.
Yeah, we weren't making fun of anything.
Yeah.
Okay, this was the great prediction from this week's notes, and that was that Edith is the love child of Rosamund and Lord Merton.
Wait a minute, what?
So
okay, who do we ascribe this to?
I think this was Silvana Dill. I actually didn't put it on my notes, and I'm sorry if I got it wrong who it was who
said
it.
But we'll get
it back.
But
we'll
because Violet said that Rosamund can't stand Lord Merton.
Oh,
she also loves Edith so much and was so present for her.
They're chummy.
Right? Close.
And it would totally explain the whole Edith being the stepchild in the family.
Uh-huh.
Or
wow.
Treated like a redheaded
that's
stepchild.
Good.
Like,
it's
nicely done.
Ridiculous, but very funny.
I love
and
it.
And as we were kind of chatting about it on the notes, it was, I don't think Julian Fellowes realizes how clever that was. Unless he is that clever,
yeah,
and we're all just
ridiculous. Yeah, we're just finally getting it.
Family cycle.
Yeah, it's just one of those nuggets. It's an Easter egg for those people who are paying attention.
Yes.
For those, okay.
Yes.
All right, I like it. I don't know. If that's going to be part of this.
It'll come out, but.
The next few episodes, whatever.
Okay, one last one. Okay. This is Matt Lau saying, so it's pretty certain Mason and Drew are going to swap farms.
Yeah.
Okay. But Edith is totally going to move to London, put her iron foot down on her paper, but she's going to need backup, someone on her side, someone who's hard-edged, loyal, conniving, vindictive, and will keep her house in order. Evil butler to the rescue!
Nice.
Okay. I don't think it's going to happen, but I love the prediction.
I don't think it's going to happen.
Okay,
either,
I'm just
going to
do a bunch of shout-outs.
Well, maybe that's why he was with Marigold.
Could be.
IIJG27 Rich, Harmeet Singh Walia, Daniel Affen, Brandon Brooks, Tara Kay, Gemma Thomas, Island Girl 63, Elizabeth Frisch, who several of these comment regularly for us, which I love
you.
That. Ricky Ra and Alex via email.
Thank you,
yeah,
keep
you
the
so
conversation
much.
Going.
It's so
man.
Much
really
fun.
So fun to read your comments.
When I saw Courtney was in there commenting alongside people, and I wasn't able to look at the comments until yesterday. But oh my gosh, it's so much fun.
Nice.
Thank you, you guys. And also, I've gotten a couple of emails and tweets as well, and I really appreciate it. It's great fun, and you guys have brilliant things that we never would have thought.
Brilliant.
Of.
All right. I think we've already said our predictions. Unfortunately, mm-hmm. we kind of said them in the unless anybody
within
has
episode,
anything else,
specific?
Right?
I think that's okay.
Okay, we actually made our predictions. We talked about Thomas and what may happen.
What's
to him.
What's going
to
be his job?
And also Lord Grantham and what's that setting up?
He's dying.
All right, so we don't have any other, so we're going to skip the rest of that. So I guess what we want to do now is let them know where they can find you.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Stuart Starlet.
I am at Tamara Berg on Twitter. My website is TamaraCentral.com. You can find everything else there.
And you can find me here next week when we'll talk to you about Downton Abbey.
Can't wait.
Series 6, Episode 4. Keep the comments coming. Let us know what you're thinking.
Yep.
Talk to you later.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com.
I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later. Cup of tea.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.